You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Talking Reds baseball today on this Tuesday, the 24th of January, talking with Mark Sheldon, of course. Mark, thank you as always for the time, and I don't want to call it a stunner, but one that certainly caught me off guard. I don't know if it did the same for you, but we'll hear from you on that. Obviously, talking about the Dan Straley trade, as the Reds sending him the way of South Florida to the Miami Marlins in return. The Reds getting back three highly rated prospects from the Fish. And, Mark, can you call this, to start off, a classic case of a team selling high on a player who up to this point has been kind of a journeyman in his career?
Absolutely. They really went with a guy that had a career year, 14 wins, 191 innings, you know, did everything really well for being a waiver claim. They got him for nothing right before the season opened, and they were able to spin him and flip him for three prospects, especially three well-regarded prospects, it sounds like. You know, personally, I was surprised because leading up to that, I always thought that Straley was a guy that had more value to the Reds than maybe other clubs would value him, just because of his kind of lackluster pass and the kind of stuff he throws. He's not a power pitcher. He gives up a lot of home runs. And I thought maybe, you know, because he had 4 years of value left, or 4 years of club control left, that the Reds would value keeping that and riding it out. But what ended up happening is they kind of looked at the landscape. They found a team that was willing to go after him, and they did want him pretty badly in the Marlins. And they looked at him as possibly a regression candidate. What happens if they waited too long and he goes out and he has a lousy start to the year, and then all that value that he built up might be lost? So you kind of look at it different ways, and they struck while the iron's hot. They were very aggressive, and they didn't wait. One of the criticisms of the Reds in the past is they've maybe waited too long to move guys when their value had peaked and had gone downward a little bit. So they did move quick.
They certainly did. No disputing that. And I know that in, you know, previous discussions, it was kind of a given that maybe the top three guys in that rotation heading into 2017 were going to be Di Sclafani, Straley, and then probably Brandon Finnegan, and then the four or five spots, you know, would be fought for. But now that Straley is out of the picture, who does this benefit the most in terms of filling that void and really locking down a spot heading into spring training?
Well, you also forgot about Homer Bailey.
Yes,
so
he's
in the rotation. So you know you got Homer Bailey somewhere if he's healthy. You got Di Sclafani, you got Finnegan. Like before, all these young guys like Amir Garrett, Robert Stevenson, Cody Reed, Tim Adelman will be in the mix for a spot, but it really does seem to double down on the efforts to go find a veteran starter from outside the organization for no other reason than really to pick up innings, because you cannot assume that any of those young guys are ready to go out and throw 180 to 200 innings at this stage of their careers. They need to find a guy that can do that. They tried doing that last year in March. They went out and got Alfredo Simon, largely based on what he did for them, you know, in 2014, but that backfired miserably and didn't work. So they're going to have to really look for a guy that not only can provide those innings, but if these younger guys do work out and succeed and they're ready to take their spot, whether it's the ones I mentioned or somebody else, like a Sal Romano, that person may have to be unselfish enough to be willing to acquiesce and go to the bullpen and be a long reliever should all the kids start panning out. So it's going to be really interesting what they do. There's only a little less than 3 weeks left until camp opens, and there seems to be a lot of arms still out there, like we've talked about in the past. So I wouldn't be surprised if they get somebody rather soon.
And Mark, backtracking a little bit to something else you said, that you know, in the past, the Reds have been criticized, and rightfully so, for hanging on to veterans a bit too long and not getting the returns on these guys that they perhaps should have gotten. Two names that immediately come to mind, both Todd Frazier and Aroldis Chapman. So given that, how has the fan reaction been to a trade? Not that Straley is a name even close to being on par with a Frazier or a Chapman, but nonetheless, you know, given the fact that he did have a good year, he was penciled in to be a mainstay in this rotation, what has the reaction been to, you know, the Reds making a very aggressive move here?
It's been mixed. I think the fans that understand the rebuild and the idea of maximizing assets and building assets and taking a guy and moving him before it's too late like the trade. I got a lot of feedback that way. But then you get guys who are saying, well, are the Reds trying to win or not, that are still thinking that this is about winning championships in 2017. And we know that's not really the case right now, that they were a little less enthusiastic about the trade because obviously the guy went out with their best pitcher last year. He won, you know, we in the local Writers Association voted him pitcher of the year. Why wouldn't the Reds want to keep him? So in that sense, for fans that really want to win at all times and end this rebuild, they didn't like it. But I think fans that saw who they got in return, what it could mean for the future, and the fact that they did something out of their character a little bit. They have a new GM, obviously, the second year in Dick Williams. It's his first year being in charge of baseball ops. He didn't sit on his hands. He's doing what he can to put the team in position, and I think some fans really respected that and also respected the fact that he was pretty out front about his rationale and it kind of explained the whole process that led up to the trade.
Yeah, I would agree, and I think I side with those fans that see the long-term picture here and that realize that, you know, there aren't going to be any parades in 2017. This is something that you have to take a long-term process towards, and that's what Dick Williams is doing. And, Mark, you mentioned the guys that came over the other way from Miami in this trade, three highly touted prospects. Of those three, who should Reds fans be most excited about right now?
Well, I think the one they'll see first will be Bryce, just because, you know, he's Austin Bryce, excuse me. He has a chance to make the big league bullpen this spring, and they like his chances. He's already been in the major leagues a little bit, wasn't very successful in his one major league stint with Miami, but he had some good numbers. He can start or can relieve, but I think the one they'll be more excited about will be Luis Castillo. He's only 24. The reports say he can bring it to, you know, the high 90s, can even crack triple digits. He's got some very nice numbers down in Double A. I think last year he a 2.26 ERA. He had a 1 WHIP. So he's got some low walks, a lot of strikeouts. So I think that could be another exciting starter they could have in the future. Maybe later this year, but more likely in 2018. And then the other guy they got is Isaiah White. It's more of a crapshoot. That, you know, he's way down in the lower end of the minors, has a lot of upside, but you're not going to know for a few years whether that one's going to pan out or not. But it was certainly, for the Reds, I guess, someone they liked and someone they were worth taking a risk on.
Yeah, a lot of promise, a lot of potential, and a lot of reason to get excited with the three young guys that the Reds can plug into their farm system. And hopefully, like you said, at least one of the three could make a cameo sometime in 2017, but the future looking a lot better than it did even a couple days ago following the trade of Dan Straley to the Miami Marlins. And, Mark, do you see in your crystal ball, do you see Dick Williams doing something else on this scale to maybe it would catch people off guard, or do you think that he's going to kind of ride it out into spring training and maybe wait until the season to make another splash like this?
Well, I think this might put to rest, or should put to rest, that they would trade Anthony DeSclafani, because at some point they do need to have innings to fill out the year. And also, I think they see him as being part of the future. I don't think they'll trade Billy Hamilton, who was obviously in the rumor mill during the winter meetings as well. What could happen maybe is if they do find a taker for Brandon Phillips or Zach Cozart. But I think anything they do between now and opening day, whether it's during spring training or not, could be along the lines of just trying to add a starting pitcher, maybe a backup catcher, depending on the Mesoraco situation. I don't think anything's going to really be industry rattling, but you never know. I think what he's said in the past is he's willing to listen on anybody, and if you make the right offer, it might work out. So we'll see.
Yeah, and that's what happened here with Dan Straley. Very few people thought that he would be wearing another uniform in 2017, but stranger things have happened. We'll see if Dick Williams has something else up his sleeve. Mark, to begin to wrap up here, you and the other team reporters for MLB.com recently asked who was the best free agent signing in your team's history. Your team, obviously, the Reds. Your choice was Dave Parker. Explain why you chose him and maybe some other guys in the running along with Parker for that honor.
Yeah, it's weird is that the Reds don't really, in their history, don't really have a lot of free agent acquisitions, at least the big ones. You know, they've done some, you know, complimentary pieces and one-year contract guys, and you know, names like Ron Ginn or Greg Vaughn come to mind for one good year, but that the parameter was they needed to at least have a couple years. And you really go back and you look at their first big acquisition in 1983 in December, coming off back-to-back losing seasons. The Big Red Machine is long in shambles by then, and they needed to kind of get going. And they finally, after rejecting free agency, you know, it's going back to when it started in the 70s, they finally made an expenditure and they went and got Dave Parker. And It got him a two-year contract, a little over $2 million, after he had 11 years with the Pirates. He's a hometown guy. He wasn't born in Cincinnati, but he was raised there, went to high school in Cincinnati here. And, you know, he became a good fit. He really, you know, coming off a drug scandal, the whole Pittsburgh drug trial, he was able to rebuild his career. He had, you know, come a couple of career years. 1 year he batted .312 and 34 homers. That was, I think, 85. And, you know, it was really just a big part of that team kind of coming back. They had three second-place finishes with him there. Pete Rose was managing, and they kind of just kind of put it together. And he also was known for being a clubhouse leader. He was the guy that kind of kept the team together. He had a lot of young guys. I talked to both the Reds Hall of Fame executive director, Rick Walls, and Marty Brenneman, who was, you know, working, obviously, back in those days. And he said, you know, if you're going to have a rebuilding team, which is what they were doing, Dave Parker was the perfect guy you wanted to have in your clubhouse to rebuild around. And he did it on the field with his numbers, and he did it in the clubhouse with the players. Barry Larkin had mentioned in his Hall of Fame speech that Parker and Eric Davis were a big part of him when he was a rookie, you know, when he was underperforming, of taking him aside and making him play better and showing him the way. And he certainly was an asset. And also, if you want to take it into a further direction, they traded Dave Parker in the last year of his contract. He ended up re-signing for a two-year deal after that first two-year deal. And in the fourth year of his time with the Reds, or after his fourth year, they were able to flip him for Jose Rijo to the A's. And Rijo became a centerpiece of the 1990 World Series team. So Parker really did have a lot to contribute, I guess. And then I looked at, as far as notable possibilities, I also looked at Aroldis Chapman, of course, who wasn't a traditional free agent. He obviously was out of Cuba, but you know, all the teams had a chance at him, and the Reds were able to get him for $30 million. He obviously made unquestionable contributions and was very electric while he was here for the 6 years. I also looked at Francisco Cordero, who was more of a compiler of numbers. He made the ninth inning a little more interesting than it had to be, but he had a decent run here. He had an under 3 ERA and 150 saves. And then I also looked at Pete Harnish, who had two good years and then two poor years. And I also looked at Jeff Brantley, the now current broadcaster, but a former closer who set the all-time team record with 44 saves in 1996. So I thought those were some honorable mentions.
Yeah, no question. And the irony, the further irony of that Rijo deal in 1990 is that the team they beat in the World Series that year, of course, the Oakland A's. So it all came full circle for the Reds that year in terms of Rijo and Dave Parker. But, Mark, an excellent choice there and a good way to wrap this baby up. Mark Sheldon, our Reds reporter, joining us here on this Tuesday. And we'll do it again at this time next week. In the meantime, Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras, Cincinnati Reds.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.